the name of Jesus, amen. Two texts to choose from. On one hand, we have that wonderful hymn of praise of Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And as we were singing, perhaps those thoughts of a mighty fortress roaring through your head, it's almost like setting the ball up on a tee. And then Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, not once, twice, three times, four times, five times, but six times, and if you were to throw in the next verse, a seventh time. Which one to focus on this morning? Well, I know in my normal approach, when I have the option, I like to look to the Old Testament. And today seems like a day that would be great for doing that, but as we think about it, maybe we should look at one that's more like a trip to the dentist's office for a root canal. Matthew 23. You know, it's real easy when we come across a text like Jesus speaking these words to the Pharisees and the scribes to start to point the finger. Look at these guys. Look at what the responsibility was that they have been given. And look at how utterly they are failing to live up to that task that God has set aside for them. But for a moment, I want to ask you to pause. To put yourself into this text. And ask yourself this question. Do you think these scribes and Pharisees were intending to do this on purpose? Do you think that they took their time of being a student of the scriptures to look in there and say, let me learn what God is revealing to me here so that I can now lead someone else astray? More than likely, that was not their intent. More than likely, they were looking at the scriptures, being students of the scriptures, trying to find out what is God speaking to us here? What does God intend for us as his people? How do I teach that? How do I make this way known to others? And then the problems began to creep in. Perhaps one of the problems that they would encounter would be that of prestige. It can be a little bit of a boost to the ego to have someone come to you and say, can you tell me how I should understand what God would say or what God would have me do in this situation? After a while, you look at what God has said, you speak that, and over time, rather than the Word of God, the Scriptures becoming the authority, you start to think, I'm the one that has that authority. After all, I'm the one that knows these scriptures. Which points us to the second problem, perhaps, that of knowledge. Knowing what God says. Knowing it, but perhaps not having it penetrate all the way to the heart. So we can ask ourselves, if they were not doing this intentionally, if their purpose was not to lead people astray, then what were they missing? What were they missing as students of the scriptures and as teachers of the scriptures? Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. But one of the things that is really easy to do when you come across a text like this is not only to see that Jesus is pointing a finger here, but we can also want to point the finger. Yes, we can look here and see how bad the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. We can point out how they were missing the mark. We can point out how they were making it about things that they should not have been making it about. And then we can take that to its next logical context. Let's look around us at the world in which we live, the church that we are a part of. Let's point out how others are missing that mark. Look at how they are not doing what they should. And so we find it easy to start to point the finger at those who perhaps misunderstand traditions, who misunderstand history. Or we look around us in a day and age like today, November 3rd, Election Day here in the United States, and find it really easy to point out how others are truly missing the mark. Maybe they should understand the proper relationship of God's authority in the church and God's authority in the state. And there may be a time and a place to appropriately point that finger, but to do so with humility, always remembering that as the one who is pointing out the speck in another's eye, there is a log in our own. When we come across a text like this, one of the things that it can call for us to do is to have a time of self-reflection. Looking through each of these things that Jesus proclaims a woe to the Pharisees and scribes, and then to ask ourselves, where might I be doing this? Where might I be falling into the trap? This is humbling. This is painful to do this. In fact, as I was looking over just the very first one about shutting the door on people, there were two instances in ministry that came to mind for me. The first one, we'll call her Rhoda. Rhoda was a lady who disagreed with practically everything I did. When I found myself sitting at voters' meetings with her and I knew that she had a particular thing on her agenda, there were way too many times where I found myself hoping that the voters would choose the other option just to see her humbled. When she started to say, "I'm thinking of staying home on Sundays," I will admit there was the thought in my mind that went, "Then I won't have to deal with you." Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you shut the door. Am I doing that? Or Jane, a woman who had been through much in life, who was struggling, who was a broken person, and who was living out that brokenness in many ways with her and with her children, where there were times where it was easier just to see her walking through the building and go back to the office and close the door because I had something more important to do. A humbling opportunity for self-reflection when we look at words such as this. Now, I will say there is a good appropriate time and place for this. I also would recommend don't do it very much because it can easily lead to beating yourself up, which is also not the best practice. Because in the end, it comes back to the question, what were the scribes and Pharisees missing? What do we miss when we're pointing the fingers at others? What do we miss when we look through this and start to point in ourselves at what we may be missing? What is missing? What is the warning that we need to heed in a situation like this? And that might be where the appropriate question to ask ourselves is, what is it that the scriptures are given to point us toward? They point us toward God. And for the scribes and Pharisees, it seems like as they were pointing not only to God, but to the Messiah, to the one that God had promised would come. And so when Jesus is speaking these words, he is saying it because they are missing the one who has come, the one to whom all the scriptures have pointed, and they are completely missing him. He's standing in front of them. These students of the scriptures, who are also the teachers of the scriptures, should have been the ones who looked at Jesus and said, "There is the one whom God has been preparing for us." Jesus is the one that they were missing. And for us, whatever our role may be here at this place and as part of this community, we also, as students of the Scriptures, need to be pointed back to that one who is the point of the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures because you believe that in them you have eternal life. They are that which point to me. And so are these pointing back to Jesus for you this day? As you hear those words, not only the great words from Psalm 46, because those are easy to see where they point to Jesus, but even words like Jesus' words here to the scribes and the Pharisees, are they pointing you back to the one who has suffered for you? Are they pointing you back to the one who is the point of the Scriptures, the one who was crucified for you, the one who rose from the dead for you, the one who has ascended into heaven for you and who sits at the right hand with all of God's authority and power? On a day like today, that's something we need to remember. Not only as we hear words like this, but also as we see people contesting for authority and power. To be reminded that God points us right back to Jesus. To Jesus who draws you to himself. May that be where these words point you this day. In his holy name, amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able as we join in our office canticle, the Benedictus.